tosses up. Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
It's good.
She got it.
Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And we're live from the campus of Illinois State University. This is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Wow, does it feel good to be back. 2 weeks. 2 weeks off, 2 weeks too long. Had to take a little hiatus there, but we're back. We're back with the boys. You know, it's showtime. We're here to talk some sports. A lot has happened. Actually, a lot has happened since the last time I was on. But a lot has happened since the last time the Red Zone was on. We're going to dive into all of that. We're going to open things up talking a little bit of Redbird soccer. As many of you guys know, Redbird soccer team unfortunately fell in the MVC championship game earlier this week. No NCAA tournament invite either, so we'll. I know Scott has some opinions about that. After that, we're talking football. Football's on the chase for a playoff spot. Big game coming up this weekend. After that, we're going to talk some basketball, men's and women's. Kicking things off in their season. They're both looking good. After that, we had some contract extensions yesterday. We'll dive into those. After that, news and sports guest Justin Bemis is on. We'll talk some Chicago sports, and we'll close things out with the best segment in all of sports talk radio, the Pick Six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
6:06 on the campus of Illinois State University. A little chilly outside. It's chillier in here. I was scrambling, putting on a blanket over myself before we came back on air. But, boys, Joey, Scott, it feels good to be back.
Yeah, first of all, welcome back, Hector, because it's been 2 weeks. And that's, Joey, I don't know about you, but that's 2 weeks way too long.
Oh, yeah. We missed you dearly on the show.
Hey, life wasn't the same without Red Zone on Thursday night.
So tell us where you were. Like, where were you doing?
So 2 weeks ago, I was in St. Louis. I was at CBI, I believe it, the College Broadcasters Incorporated.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so it's like National Awards, ZND. We were up for 7 or 8. I know it was pretty high up there, and I think we had the highest amount of nominations in the country. So that just shows how good we are down here.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, just to dust off the shoulders a little bit, you know.
And then I was on a panel.
I was just about to say, you spoke a little bit.
I was on a panel with, there was two guys from Seton Hall and a guy from Mount Union.
Okay.
How were they? It was cool because, and not only them, I got to talk to just sports directors and people that work at stations from just around, like, all over the country. There was people from Texas Tech there. There was people from, like, LSU. There was people from Arizona. Like, there was just people from everywhere. So it was cool to see the different kinds of experiences that we have down here compared to they have. And something, you guys know how Deb and Steve always say, oh, you guys are the best station in the nation. We won that award a couple years ago. And I always think that they're just saying it to say it, try to keep us motivated a little bit. But going, I saw it at IBA earlier this year, but going to CBI, we legitimately are like one of the best stations in the country. Yeah. Like people were taken back work we do.
That is pretty cool. And Joey's over there nodding his head. Yeah. And let me paint the scenario really quick. We got you huddled up in a blanket.
It's cold.
But you know what? It is cold. But I'm ready to get going. You guys ready to get going?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's going to be a good show.
Let's dive in. Let's turn up the heat a little bit. It's chilly. Scott called me out for having the blanket on. Redbird soccer.
Oh, man.
Just lost in the MVC championship game to Loyola earlier this week. And then couple days later, the NCAA, it was like Selection Wednesday or something. It was during the middle of the week. They had their selection shows. Redbird soccer, 14-6 on the season. One conference loss in the regular season. They did drop that game in the conference championship. So both of those losses, both conference losses, came to Loyola this year, right? 14-6, you have a really good record in conference. You beat some good teams before conference play. Redbird soccer not in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, can we talk about this for a second?
Let's talk about it.
And we talk about this all the time. Joey, hold on.
Okay, no, you go ahead. You go ahead.
We talk about
this
all the time with the love that the Missouri Valley Conference gets.
And the lack thereof.
Exactly.
No, yeah.
The lack thereof, because we don't get any. 14-6, we have a player on our team in Kate Delfava, who was one of the best players, probably college women's soccer players.
Yeah, she finished in a tie for 7th in the country for goals.
We beat teams like U of I. We beat multiple teams. We went 14-6. I think the only thing that we suffered this year was that swing game when we lost 4-3 to Iowa. I think if we beat Iowa in that game, our RPI ranking gets a little higher. We get in with the at-large.
Yeah, and that's really what was, like, obviously, because I looked it up before. I wanted to watch the selection show to see, because we wanted, if they got selected, we were going to have a soccer player on tonight. I didn't get to watch it, but I think they should have been in the tournament.
They should have been in.
I mean, the RPI wasn't on their side, but it's a good team. You have one of the best goal scorers in the country. You showed that you can ball out on the pitch. You should be in that tournament.
I don't think they pulled through in important games where it mattered. Because like if you look at pre-conference play, they dropped to Iowa, they lost to U of I, and so those were two big games that were big proving grounds for them. And yeah, they have Kate Delfava, who's an all-star, and they have Haley Smith, who is incredible, and
the best goalie in the
she was incredible, easily the best goalie in the Missouri Valley, but two players aren't going to get you there. Soccer's a team game. And the fact that they weren't able to get past Loyola twice, I think it just kind of speaks to how this team was, yes, very, very good, but I don't think they were quite at that level to go on to the NCAA tournament.
Well, if you're a judge and you're in the committee, what are you looking for other than strength of schedule? Are you looking at how many goals are scored? Are you looking at, like, are you looking at the team in general? Like, what are you guys looking at?
The problem with that is I think one of the biggest things that is looked at is that strength of schedule. Because any team, and they didn't go undefeated, but any team in a mid-major conference can have the season this Redbird team had. But if your strength of schedule is super low, I think that's number one right there. That puts you at a disadvantage. Aside from that, I'm sure they look at record, and they look at, like Joey said, the performance, the games in which you should win, you should perform, like even in your own conference. You know, they look at that. They look at the games against Loyola. You got to beat a team like Loyola at least once. If you play them twice in a season, you got to pull out one of those games. And I think it's games like that that are looked at to really determine whether or not a bubble team gets in the tournament.
Yeah, and if you look at, I believe that if Loyola would have lost to Illinois State, I think they still would have gone on, because looking at their schedule, they did drop to U of I as well, and they dropped an ugly 6-0 loss to Kansas, but then they hosted number 16 Wisconsin, 16 in the country, and they brought them to double overtime and eventually tied them. And that's the kind of game that you have to go out and win if you want to compete, if you want to seriously compete at the next level.
And the sad thing is they were really hot. They went on that 9-game winning streak, which I think was either tied or one game more than the all-time ISU record. And when you're that hot and you think you're going into, you know, postseason with a lot of momentum, and then you drop two games in the postseason, that's just something that they're going to look back on. And it's sad, but those seniors are going to be really, you know, wishing they could take that.
And that's kind of like the what could have been aspect, you know, because you have, like, obviously we've talked about her all season, but Kate Delfava, who is one of the best players in the country this year, like that's going to be a very hard loss for this Redbirds team to overcome next year. And so you gotta, like, obviously you're going to try to rebound and you're going to try to come back, but you're sitting there at the end of the season wishing that you had more to give to get out of that player, because she was so good for the team this year.
Yeah, and Kate Delfava, senior, so she's on her way out. Haley Smith, also a senior, so one of the best keepers and probably the best keeper in all of the Missouri Valley, on her way out as well. But I think the future is bright for this Redbird soccer team. Obviously, there's 11 people on the field at a time. Yeah. You know,
10 players.
Yeah, Haley Smith, Kate Delfava are just two of those players. Kate Delfava didn't score every goal for this team. Haley Smith didn't save every shot that came her way this season. So, yeah, it's a disappointing end of the season, but you're losing your seniors, but the youth on this team got to learn a lot this year.
Well, two players that come to mind that are coming out next year are Shayna Dudas and Alyssa Sievers, and they're both very good. They both played a lot of minutes here this season, and they're both sophomores. So we have two more years with them, and hopefully we can rebuild. I know we have a lot of freshmen as well, and the future may be just as bright.
Yeah. And another player in the same vein, second in goals on the team, Natalie Von Lowe. She's a junior, she'll be a senior next year from DeKalb, and she was able to kind of shine a little bit, even though Kate Del Favo was playing so well. She had a couple very nice goals, a couple game winners, and so she might be who the offense is geared through next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not have that one player, and they might run more of a team system. But those are just adjustments that are going to be had, that are going to have to be made by Coach Sylvie.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's going to be, I don't want to use the term, rebuild, but it's, the Birds are going to have to find a way to rebound and kind of keep the success going, even with losing those two huge key players.
Yeah. No, I think the future's bright. The National Signing Day was earlier this week. They got a couple commits. I think the holes will be filled. I think the future's bright for the soccer team. Was a disappointing end to the season, but I think they have a lot to build off of. They got to learn a lot this year. They really saw what it took to be a good team. You know, they got to learn a lot from those losses, and they're not going to forget how losing to Loyola twice in one season really ruined the year for them.
And we kind of bring that up with basketball, too. When we talked to Casey Hillsman, I believe it was last week, we talked to him, and he said that loss in that – or was it Friday night? We were calling
Friday night. They lost Friday night.
He didn't get to play.
No.
But he said that loss fueled him, like made him want to come out here even hungrier. And, you know, that's, I think, a lot for a lot of different athletes out there, and I expect that with soccer, too.
Yeah, losing in the championship, and especially because it was in the championship, it's going to stick with everyone on this team. And I think they're going to come back stronger next year. They're not the only team that has postseason hopes, though, because football, 7-3 coming into this week, and they have two games left on their season. Last weekend, big road win. Probably this might be their signature win this year. On the road, they took down number 4 South Dakota State, 27-18. Two games left. You win one of those two games, you almost definitely secure your spot in the FCS playoffs.
And they're playing a team that's very highly beatable. They're playing Missouri State.
They're playing two highly beatable teams.
And Missouri State's 1-8 on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Redbirds football team is in a very interesting position right now where they can go and go on the road and beat a very good team like South Dakota State, but then when they hosted UNI the week before, I did that call with Nate Keeney, and they looked awful. Like, they had no sense of offense whatsoever, and their defense was just getting overpowered. So week to week, this team kind of goes through these changes where you never really know what kind of production you're going to get out of either side of the ball. And we've been talking all year about our concerns with the offense and how they've looked one-dimensional at times, but the defense has also struggled in the past couple of games to stop a balanced attack. They'll either sell out to stop the run or sell out to stop the pass.
Yeah.
And a good offense can telegraph that and exploit you.
And I think last week was really, really the first week in a while where we saw the defense play just have a solid game plan for the ground and the air game. Because I only got to catch the fourth quarter of it. I couldn't find a good stream, and I don't have ESPN Plus. I just don't have the $5
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the login. I got.
I'm gonna hook you up with the login.
I'm on it. So after the show, come up to me. I'll get you all logged in. We'll be good.
That's big. But I was only able to catch the fourth quarter, and in that fourth quarter, the defense is a reason why the Redbirds came out on top. They were down in the fourth quarter, and I want to say the defense forced 3 or 4 turnovers, and it was South Dakota State's backup quarterback was in the game, but when you force 4 turnovers in one quarter, there's no way your team should lose. And the offense did struggle a little bit. They only got field goals, I think, out of 3 of the 4 turnovers, which was just letting South Dakota State hang around. But we saw that defense step up, force that other turnover, and they sealed the game.
And I think it's fair to say that defense wins championships. I know it's a saying that's been around forever. You can beat it like a dead horse. But, I mean, we just saw Dylan Draco was a player of the week.
Yeah.
And that's a big, you know, accomplishment to get here in the MVC. And like you said, that defense has been a brick wall back there. And obviously we have a pretty solid offense. We have James Robinson. We have some receivers that can play just as well. But that defense has been keeping us in these games, and they're the reason we have the record we have.
Yeah, and you talked about Dylan Drake really quick. Earlier this afternoon, actually, at like maybe an hour before the show, senior linebacker Luther Kirk and James Robinson have accepted invitations to play in the East-West Shrine Bowl. That's in Tampa this year. That game's on NFL Network. So that's, you get some NFL talent in those games, and the fact that the Redbirds have two guys on that team going over there to play, we talked about how good that defense is. Luther Kirk, a mainstay on that defense.
And Luther Kirk and James Robinson, obviously both very, very deserving of that invitation. Both projected, I haven't looked at Luther Kirk, but I know James Robinson is projected like early fourth round, late third round in the NFL draft. And so when you have NFL talent like that, the expectations are exponentially raised for your team.
And that was something I was going to bring up. I was going to ask you guys, where do you think with the year that we saw? Because obviously we saw the first week, it wasn't too hot for James, but kind of he progressed definitely over throughout the season and has been playing very well. Where would you guys see him being taken realistically? No biasness, you know, being here at Illinois State, but where do you think he would go in the draft?
I've never been good at putting like a, there's just too many rounds in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. He's going to get drafted. He's going to be a mid-round pick. I can see James Robinson going as early as maybe like the third round.
If he goes undrafted.
He's not. There's no way.
There's absolutely no way.
There's been some good running. Look at Philip
okay,
Lindsay.
But the thing is, you have to look at the stature. Like Philip Lindsay is like a small, quick back. James Robinson is a power back. Like you can put him in. You can put James Robinson in on the 2-yard line and he'll get in the end zone for you. Like that's a very strong asset to have going into the draft, because that's not something that you have to teach. You can just put your nose down and run.
If he gets drafted to a team like Tampa Bay or someone in the NFL that really needs a running back, do you think he has the opportunity to start right away?
Maybe if they do like a committee offense.
Yeah, and
you don't think he could be a main horse, workhorse back?
He could be. Here's the thing. If you're drafting a running back in the third round, that means you need a running back. So at that point, I think there'll be a competition, and he might be able to work his way into that starting lineup.
I like that.
He's for sure going to get drafted. I think he could see some meaningful snaps in the NFL next year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think the same for Luther Kirk as well.
Yeah.
I think Luther Kirk is the type of defensive player that an NFL team would really like to have. But I don't think he'll go quite as high. I could see maybe like a late fifth, early sixth.
Like a late round gem.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of, especially coming out of the FCS, like sometimes
they don't throw a lot either.
There's not a lot of, there's still some questions that NFL teams are going to have, but I think they're definitely going to, team is going to be willing to take the chance on him for sure. And I could see something good coming out of that for him.
Do you think kind of coming out of the FCS, though, does hurt him?
I mean, yes.
Hurts. Absolutely. That hurts everyone coming out of the FCS just because it's the FCS. But we've seen time and time.
Besides running backs, because they get such a work.
But we've seen on multiple occasions, it's not something that just it happens every year where you have guys come out of the FCS and just blow up on just come out of nowhere and blow everyone away. So Redbird football taking on Missouri State on Saturday. That game is at noon. You can catch all of the action here on 103.3 WZND starting at 11:50 a.m. Before we take a quick break, though, about 2 weeks out of Thanksgiving, I know I'm ready for Thanksgiving, but are you ready for Thanksgiving? Are you ready to spend time with your loved ones to make the holidays a bit more bearable? WZND and Red Raccoon Games have teamed up for WZND's Great Gamesgiving giveaway. Now, the first person to call in and let me know what your favorite holiday tradition is, will be entered into a drawing for a $100 prize package featuring special edition games like Harry Potter Scrabble and Mario Kart Monopoly, courtesy of Red Raccoon Games. So call in now at 309-438-1033 and let me know what your favorite holiday tradition is to be entered into the giveaway. Once again, that's 309-438-1033. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. I just had Casey on the phone, and she said that her favorite holiday traditions are Black Friday shopping and singing Christmas carols with her dad.
No, I love that. I absolutely love that little Christmas carol with the dad.
I'm there for the Black Friday shopping,
too. Absolutely.
So Kaylee now has been entered into the Great Games Giving giveaway to win a $100 grand prize package from our friends at Red Raccoon Games. WZND's Great Games Giving winners will be chosen next Tuesday, so stay tuned because there's another chance for you to be entered in just a few hours. Let's get back to the action now because it's officially college basketball season. Men's and women's basketball are in action now, and you know, some shaky expectations for both teams coming into the year. I'll say right now, both teams are legit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the men, and I get why you lose your big three, the big three you've had for the last 2.5 years. But these guys are, the men are good, the women. I think the women's team is going to be better than the men's team this year.
And this is one thing that I kind of want to say about that is there really aren't, and I know they've came out and they've played, you know, Zach Copeland's, Casey Hillsman's, these players come out and they're having very good games, but there really aren't like any superstars on ISU, but they come out and they play super hard. And I love that. I love teams like that. And when you think of teams like that, you think of Bradley last year who went 18-15 and ended up winning the conference tournament. They didn't have any stars either. They just came out, they played hard, and they played the system. And I like that a lot with ISU.
And that's something that Casey was talking to us about last week on the show, Scott. He was talking about how this is such a team effort this year because they recognize that they lost three very good players who their offense ran through, and so he said and reinforced it. He was like, this is a team predicated game that we play. Everybody does their part and everybody's out there working hard for their brother, and that's what I think makes this team so good, and that's why I think we've seen all this early success so far.
Yeah, I think that's it. And it's a fresh start, and I think that's what the basketball team needed. I think that's what Dan Muller needed. You know, the expectations were there last year. You can't beat around the bush. Last year's team dropped the ball. They didn't perform the way they thought they were going to perform. The year before that, we saw them get to the MVC championship. They couldn't get the job done, but it's a fresh start, and it's a different team. It's a different style of play.
And I think that's what separates them from the team last year. I think the locker room guys, it's a lot better chemistry. But now we're looking, they're 2-0. That's a fresh start, but these next two games are looking a little scary. We got UCF and we have Cincinnati.
And here's the thing. Hector and I are going to be there for the game on Sunday against UCF, and Belmont was a scary game because Belmont had some tournament success this last March. So I think that
UCF did too.
Exactly, and I think that if they play the game that they have been playing so far, I think they have. I think they're more than capable of pulling out this win because they play such a tight game, and I think I don't want to say that there was a coaching issue last year, but I think losing the three big stars on this team has given Dan Muller kind of a chance to reshape how the team works and kind of tighten everything up, because last year we just saw a lot of sloppy play and a lot of guys not hitting their full potential.
No, yeah, and we got to talk to Dan earlier this couple weeks ago, got to talk to Coach Muller. He said, and this is, I think, what the biggest thing coming into the year was. I think this is why they're as good as they've been. This is the first time you have a pass-first point guard since Paris Lee.
Yeah, I believe that. And I think he's a pass-first point guard, but he can also shoot.
And exactly. He's a pass-first guard, but he'll hit the shots when he needs to hit
them. And that makes him dangerous.
And that's what everyone else does. And we've seen Zach Copeland really step up. He just was named earlier this week MVC Player of the Week. He's the guy. Coming into this season, really, as a Redbird fan, you know, we kind of knew the team more because of what we get to do here. But just if you're a fan just going to the games, Zach Copeland's really one of the only names you knew on this roster, and he's performing as if this is his team.
I know it's early, and I know we're 2-0, we're two games into the season, but these next two games, I think any ISU supporter will know just from previous years of having positive records and losing, you know, a couple years ago it was TCU, you know, teams like that. These next two games are so important because if we don't win the MVC, even if we do, for seeding purposes, these next two games are very big
games. Yeah, these are the games that are going to get looked at when that either selection time or seeding time comes for this Redbird team. But The men's team, not the only basketball team putting themselves on the map. The women's team. Last year, they performed. They had a better year than the year before. There was improvement there last year. That might have been the goal going into this year, but I think the goal now for this year should be you got to go win that MVC championship because this Redbird women's team is good. And I said it on the broadcast. Me and Isaac, I believe, were on their opening broadcast against Truman State. TT Madgett's going to... She's going to win MVC Player of the Year.
No. Easily, easily. There's nobody in the conference who even comes close to her skill.
She is unstoppable. She's one of the quickest players I've ever seen. If she gets that first step, which more often than not she does get the first step on the defender, she's unstoppable. She'll draw the contact. She'll finish the layup. She'll step back for a jump shot. She can also make the pass that needs to be made. She can do it all.
She can. And she's got a shot.
And Scott,
she has handles.
Scotty and I were talking about this in the office earlier today. And how they've so seamlessly changed the way they run the offense, like because they used to be a dump it down low, draw the contact, get the hard two, but they've got a couple players now who are really excelling, hitting them from out wide, and TT Madgett and the speed that she brings to this team allows them to expand the court when they're on the offensive zone so much, and it makes it so much easier to run that high pass offense.
And I know we're giving them some praise right now, but there is a little bit of a red flag. Because they played Marquette. Obviously, we beat Truman State. We beat them 87-60. But then we play a known team in Marquette who has a pretty solid women's program. They lost 41-58. They had less than half of the points in that game. That's a little scary.
Yeah, but I mean, you can also, I think you can, it could have been just a bad game. You know, they could have been off shooting. It was the first time they were on the road this year.
They were on the road.
I still think they're going to be good. We talked about TT Magic. Mary Crompton is lights out from three this year. She's shooting at least 50%, I believe, from beyond the three. Lexi Wallen, unstoppable inside. Lexi played volleyball 4 years here at ISU. Last year was her first year on the basketball team. She's a grad student now, still playing basketball for this Redbird women's basketball team. And she's had some really good showings down low, too. Another player. I think this is the big four this year. We have TT Magic, Mary Crompton, Lexi Wallen, Juju Redmond.
What about Lexi Kudelka, though? 38 minutes. She's averaging 38 minutes on the year.
Yeah. No, she's gonna play a big role on this team, too. All I'm saying is that I think at least the big three this year are going to be TT, Lexi, and Juju.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And I think going back to what you said about Marquette, I think what's really going to show us what this team is made of is when we go down to U of I Saturday. Because that'll be a big test. Obviously, U of I, big rivalry game, and we are going to them. So how they perform there is really going to give us a good gauge of how the season is going to go in terms of are we going to be able to step up when the time comes and we have to beat a good team, because Marquette was their first real test. Yeah. Now they know. Now they're acclimated. Can they go down and beat the Illini?
Yeah, big game for this Redbird women's basketball team on Saturday. They're in Urbana-Champaign taking on the Fighting Illini. Tip-off for that one is at 2 p.m. And after that, on Wednesdays, next Wednesday, November 20th, NIU is in town taking on this women's basketball team. Tip-off for that game is set for 7 p.m. You can catch all of the action right here on 103.3 WZND, starting at 6:50. We're going to quickly step aside, come back with the newscast. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Justin Bemis, thank you very much for that beautiful newscast. And we talked about it earlier, but we'll go over it again. Justin Bemis, the news and sports guest for this week. And Justin, what are we talking about tonight?
So tonight we got the Cubs and Sox, a little bit of off-season preview. We're also going to talk about the manager change for, obviously, the Chicago Cubs. And then we're going to touch on some Bulls and some Bears.
All right, let's get to it then. Are you, and I know the answer, but this is for the listeners, Cubs or Sox?
For me, Cubs.
Yeah, Cubs.
But I do follow the Sox, so I am aware of what's going
on
with them.
Right off the bat, thoughts on David Ross?
Thoughts on David Ross, so I was a Joe Girardi guy. I wanted Girardi because I felt like, I know Theo Epstein made comments like there was going to be no price that isn't high enough that they could pay, right?
Yeah.
And I just felt like Girardi was that proven commodity who proved himself with the Yankees, you know, won there. And I just feel like Ross, which he may very well become a great manager, which I think he has the potential to do, certainly. But I feel like Girardi, they should have hired him, and I think the Phillies got a good manager because that's where he ended up. And I would have liked that they would have taken Girardi, but okay. I'm willing to give...
Yeah. I respect that. Yeah. I get that.
Rossi a shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Rossi a shot, but I think it's too soon. I think he's young, I think he's fresh, and I don't think this is what the Chicago Cubs team needs. I get he played on the team, but that's another thing. He played with these guys. Like, it's like, I just don't know how he can make that transition this soon, and that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, the biggest point of opposition is he was on this team. He just won a World Series with the team 2-3 years ago. I don't think managers in baseball matter all that much. I don't think managers really play a role in the game until about the last third of the game.
So I would second
the
that.
Seventh yeah, through like the ninth bullpen, around yeah. there. And even then, I think it's easy. And I'm not going to say it's easy. I don't think it's hard to be a manager in baseball. I think it's the play. It's really on the players. And I don't think they mattered all that much. David Ross is a catcher. He knows how to manage a ball game already. He was a catcher. He managed ball games all the time. That's what catchers do. They manage the ball game from on the field. He did it for his entire career. We saw how Aaron Boone did in New York. You know, yeah, Brad Ausmus didn't have such a he didn't do good. He's coached two teams. He's out of a job already. But he started in Detroit. Started with a super bad team. Went to Anaheim. Not that good of a team. David Ross has a really good team on his hands, and we've seen, just looking at what Aaron Boone has done, we've seen what a first-year manager, a former player manager, can do with a good team.
I don't know how good I'd say the Cubs are right now.
I feel like we might be overvaluing their talent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, we have some hitters, but we're losing Wilson Contreras possibly.
No.
We're also losing Chris Bryant.
You're overvaluing.
We don't have a bullpen.
You're overvaluing.
We didn't even make the playoffs.
Scott,
we didn't even make the playoffs.
Are you going to let me talk?
We didn't even make the playoffs.
You don't think I'm aware of that?
So what are we overvaluing here?
You're overvaluing a former Rookie of the Year, former MVP, and Chris Bryant. You're overvaluing
We're
Javi Baez.
Have him anymore.
You're overvaluing Anthony
Chris
Rizzo.
Bryant.
You're overvaluing
Chris Bryant. We're losing Wilson Contreras. We don't have a bullpen.
We don't have
starting pitchers.
All right, I'm going to go on I'm going on ESPN really quick. I'm on ESPN right now. I'm going to go to the Cubs website. I'm going to go to the Cubs page and read you off the roster and tell me who we don't have.
But you're naming guys that are
Scott, Going on to the trading block doesn't mean you're not on the team, Scott.
100%. But we are going.
So
to
if you're on the
guys.
If you're on the trading block, you can't play. You're not a part of the team.
We are losing these guys.
You're not up. Answer my question.
I will put any money.
Answer
on
my question.
That we will lose these players this offseason.
Scott, answer the question. Answer the
Can
question.
Can they play? Okay, Hector. I don't
Scott,
know who
they're answer the question.
Right now. I don't know what season you're watching.
Scott,
but the season ended.
Not answering the question.
The Washington Nationals won the World Series.
All right, boys.
And there's no more baseball to be played until next season, next spring. And these guys that you're naming are not going to be on the roster.
Oh, my God.
Anymore.
I think a lot of their problems is, too, in their pitching, which you take a look at John Lester's year, he kind of had a bit of a regression year pitching-wise.
Yeah, no, our pitching has been terrible, starting and in the bullpen.
Do you boys mind if I touch really
and
quick?
And Hector's making faces
Do you mind really quick if I touch on the better baseball team in Chicago right now? Because we just re-signed Jose Abreu today. We got Isaac Missel in the studio right now, so I'm just preaching to him right now. We re-signed Jose Abreu. Coming up next year, we got Luis Robert. Michael Kopech's going to be back. We got Nick Madrigal. We got Dane Dunning, who's killing it. Eloy. We got Yoan Moncada. We got Tim Anderson, batting champion of the league this year. The Sox are going to be good.
In a couple of years.
Jerry Reinsdorf needs to open up his pocketbook.
That's true.
He needs to pay some
guys.
That is the only thing that's concerning me coming up, is because we're going to have to start paying Jimenez and Tim Anderson and Yoan. And so that scares me coming up, because he's been, over the past couple of years, he's been very, very frugal. And especially, the thing is, we also need to get, I really would like to get one ace starting pitcher. Like, Garrett Cole is a free agent.
I know
everybody and their mom wants Garrett Cole on their team right now, but the White Sox have the cap space to get him. We just need to shell out the money. Right now. And that is what I think is going to hold us back in this offseason if we don't get those big free agents.
They 100% need Garrett Cole. And that was kind of like how the Cubs ended up signing Darvish a few years back instead of getting Verlander, where you saw how good Verlander's been in Houston. And Darvish came into his own a little bit this season towards the half later end. But, yeah, Yu Darvish was more like Yu Garbage at the beginning of his contract.
The way I see Garrett Cole this offseason is Garrett Cole is what the Cubs did when they signed John Lester.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the Sox sign Garrett Cole this year, that means the Sox not only believe in that the rebuild is going to work, that means they're all in 2019.
John Lester, you can make, he is probably the best free agent signing in Cubs history.
And really quick, Scott.
Yeah, here we go. I was waiting for
Scott,
the
Cubs had the 7th best pitching staff in Major League Baseball.
Hector, I think anybody that watched...
On to the Bulls, because we're running out of time. Justin wants to talk about other sports here. We have the Bulls taking on the Bucks tonight. There's a lot of excitement behind the Bulls. I'm excited. I wasn't excited before the season started. I'm buying in on the Bulls. I think
buying in on the Bulls.
I think
3-8.
I think.
What are you buying in?
They're
4-7. Quick math for me, Scott. How many games is that?
But what are you buying in?
How many games are in the NBA season? How many games are in the NBA season?
I got some statistics for you. You guys want to hear this?
I would love to hear it.
So on the season. Well, this is before this last game against the Knicks. So on the season, of the Bulls' three-point shots, 89% of them are considered open to wide open by the closest defender metrics. That's huge. That's 89% of their shots being open to wide open, right? So if the offensive sets that they are running are open 89% of the time, that means something's going right, right? Shots that the Bulls are taking, 31% of them are falling, which is terrible. They are ranked 27th in the league in what is considered a wide open three-point shot, and a wide open three-point shot by the metrics is considered 6 feet or more. So that's like a huge, huge amount of distance in basketball, right? So 27th in the league in wide open shots, like making them. 24th in the league in open shots, which open shots are 4 to 6 feet. So they're getting good open looks, but clearly they're not hitting them, right? So my question is, if the system is working, like I said, they're getting 89% of their shots are open, is it the players or the wrong mix of players? But, however, before you answer that, of the 8 highest volume shooters on the Bulls, 5 are shooting below their career three-point averages, and 6, technically, you could also add in Kobe White because technically he doesn't have any previous stats because he's a rookie. But he's shooting 21%. Mind you, this is also prior to his 7 three-pointers that he hit
against
New York.
The Chicago Bulls are such a quandary this year because they have a couple guys who are very talented, right? There are a couple guys who you could put in any starting five in the NBA. Oh my God. Scott's over there. Scott, just let me finish and then you can come. Scott's coming for everybody's neck tonight. But I think the Bulls are in a position where it's okay for them to go through these struggles because they're still trying to find who they are as a team, because the success is not going to come for them this year. I just don't see it happening. They still have so much more rebuild to do. But as long as they can get some of these guys, because like you said, the system is working. So as long as they can get guys who can start hitting these shots, then they're going to slowly see that improvement. And especially in how weak the East is right now, I think in the next couple years, they could really become like a 6th through 4th seed if they keep on this track of rebuilding and putting all the pieces into place.
See, I think rebuilding's out of the question because the front office, Gar Pax, they already came out and said, like, this is playoffs is the goal. So I think it's more the system is looking good, but the players as, like, a collective right now are, like, all in a slump, every one of them.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be good. They're still a young team. I think this is the first year where they take that step forward that's necessary. I think this is a year where it gets taken. Go ahead, Scott. What do you have to say?
I agree with what everybody's saying here. I agree more with Joey than I do Justin. I think it is still a rebuild because we don't have – listen, I get Markkanen's a good player. I get Kobe White, great player. Maybe. I mean, he's only played how many games?
Yeah, is marketing a good player is a good question, too.
100%. And that's where my point's going here, is none of these guys are superstars. The Bulls don't have anybody that we can really build off of. Markkanen, I think he'd be great if he played on the Lakers and had guys like, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James to kind of, you know, be around and set them up. But to take over a game, to take over a franchise, the Bulls do not have that. And please don't be throwing out Kobe White, because like I just said, he's played 11 games in the NBA. He has not proven himself, and the Bulls don't have that. And we're spending so much money on all these guys like LaVine, who are going 20 for 42 in a game, or, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah, he's putting up good points, but he's shooting like 50 shots a game. The percentage is just not there. The Bulls don't have that. And to say that you're all in, I get it, because we're Bulls fans. We want to be good. We've been wanting to be good for so long. But they are just not there, and it starts in the front office, and the front office is not there.
And that's been the problem from the start. That's why the Bulls weren't able to get it done when they had Derrick Rose on the team. That's why the Bulls really weren't able to get it done back when they had Kirk Hyatt. The baby Bulls didn't get it done. And it's front office. And the problem is Chicago isn't a destination for free agents in the NBA. Right, obviously,
which is maddening because it's
but
the is third Chicago, biggest
but,
market.
But is it really, like, if you're a NBA basketball player and you can literally pick where you want to go play, because that's where these big names pick, where they're
well, obviously
they
LA
have no
the top.
Why would you want to come to Chicago in the winter?
It's still
and that's
Chicago,
but that's
though.
A problem. That's the biggest thing. No one wants
okay,
to come
you want to go to New York in the winter. It's why would you want to go to Boston?
You can't,
the thing about basketball,
I get market size. You can't compare New York and Chicago as a city. They're on completely different levels.
But you're talking about weather. You just said why.
But I'm saying, yeah, but that's, again, Scott, I'm talking
well,
about
no
weather,
New York,
but they're on different levels.
How is Chicago?
New York isn't Chicago.
No one's going to
all.
New York.
I'm just saying, I just want to throw out there that it's – with the way that the NBA is set up right now and the freedom the players have to choose their own destination, it is – Justin, you were like adding this when Hector was kind of talking. It's embarrassing that the Bulls are not a free agent destination. They're such a big sports market, and Chicago has such a rich basketball lineage, both in NBA players who were born and raised there and how the Bulls have performed. And so the fact that they cannot create – an atmosphere that players want to come to is ridiculous.
What drives me crazy about, I've heard Paxton say on other radio stations in the area, in the Chicagoland area, and I've heard him say, I'm not a salesman. But like, that's the thing, is he is a salesman. He's got to go out there and recruit these guys, makes like some cool promo video about like the 90s Bulls and like, oh, look, you could reach this, because let's all agree on this. When basketball is cooking in the town of Chicago, like the fan base goes nuts. Same with any sport really, yeah, in Chicago, but like basketball definitely up there with like any of the sports.
Can we go back on markets really quick?
No.
Because Hector made a point of saying, why would people want to come to Chicago? But why are teams going to Milwaukee?
Teams.
Why are they going to OKC?
We're not talking teams. We're talking players. Who's at OKC right now?
Thing.
Where's Kevin
right
Durant?
Now,
where's Russ?
Westbrook?
Where's James Harden?
They were traded, but they were
where do you think Giannis
Paul
is going to go?
And Russell Wilson were
where do you think Giannis is going
to
go?
Oklahoma
Where'd
City.
LeBron go, Scott?
That to Chicago?
Where'd LeBron go?
To L.A. Where was he before that?
Miami.
Where was he before that? Cleveland.
Because he lived there. He's from there.
He was in Cleveland. What is in Cleveland?
His home, Scott. His family. His birthplace.
Here's the thing.
Are you serious?
I mean, you know how many basketball players come from Chicago?
Hey, let Justin talk.
Here's the thing about big markets, and they necessarily don't really matter in the NBA. The NBA's, like, their free agent moves are really all about who's already at the place that they're considering to go. You know what I mean? Like, Kawhi Leonard this past offseason wasn't going to go to the Clippers until they figured out a way to, he said, figure out a way to get Paul George, and I'll go there. Same with, you know,
yeah,
AD to the,
yeah,
Lakers. I know he was traded, but LeBron kind of skinned,
yeah,
that.
And
whole thing
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying Kawhi picked where he wanted that to happen.
He was in Toronto before that.
Yeah,
and
the whole
Scott, he was a free agent, right? His contract expired. When someone's contract expires, they get to pick where they want to go play next. Justin is right by saying he waited, but he picked, I want this to happen in L.A. I want this to happen with the Clippers.
Durant and Kyrie, they like both We're texting each other. Where's Kyrie Irving? Brooklyn.
Quickly tell me where Kyrie Irving is from.
I don't know where
he's from. Brooklyn, Scott.
Oh, come on. So you're going to tell me that was the main reason why he went to Brooklyn? You're
yes.
Tell me
the piece if that's that, the case, let's get Anthony Davis.
Because Kyrie Irving said, I'd go play in Brooklyn because it's from where I am. I don't need anyone to go to Brooklyn with me. I want to go play at home. Anything.
I agree.
Yeah, he agrees.
I agree, but
really
how
quick,
many good basketball players come out of Chicago
we gotta take a quick break. Because they didn't get to choose to, Scott. Kyrie got to choose to. Kyrie chose to go play with the Nets. LeBron got drafted by the Cavs. He chose to go back to the Cavs,
Kyrie
Scott.
Kyrie chose the money. Kyrie got paid a ton of money.
He was going to get the money everywhere.
Not as much as Brooklyn was going to
offer.
Yeah,
Scott. He was going to get
the second most cap room.
Scott, Kyrie Irving was going to get a max contract from any team in the NBA. It just so happened that his hometown team had the ability to, so why not go play at home?
Get him and one of the best basketball
players. Why not go play at home, Scott? And going back on the Chicago-New York thing, really quick, before we take a break, we are running out of time. We got pick six to do. There's people in remote countries around the world that know what New York City is.
Yes. So
and they don't know what Chicago is. No, Scott, they don't.
It's the third biggest city
in
the United States.
They don't. People know what New York is above Chicago.
Real quick, when I was in Singapore, I mentioned how I was in Singapore, small country in Eurasia.
Yeah.
Right down there. And when I mentioned that I was from Chicago, the first thing the first thing they say is,
Michael Jordan.
Oh, you're from that city with the basketball player and the basketball team. So they knew, I was like, oh yeah, Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but New York as the city, Scott, of course everyone knows who Michael Jordan is. As a city, New York City is where it's at, and you know it. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for the best segment in all of Sports Talk Radio, the Pick Six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. I think we all know what that means. That was a little weird. I was expecting words to come up. Nothing came out. We got the music though, so I think that gives it away enough.
I'm just saying, are we all cool now, boys?
Hey, we're good. Cubs had a top 7 pitching staff, top 10 offense.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. All right. That's why we made the plan.
Quickly going over the standings. Last week, Joey made the jump up to. Actually, we'll start at the bottom. The guests sitting in last, of course, 23-37. Justin will try to change that. In fourth, who would have expected it? Everyone expected it. Scott, down to fourth again, 27-33. After that, Steve and myself are tied for second at 28-32. And Joey, lonely at the top of the standings at 29-31.
I just want to say Disney Plus came out yesterday, and in Lion King fashion, I just can't wait to be king, boys.
Hey, we got 2 weeks left, all right? We actually got 3 shows left. This is after this, we're going to have two shows left. I believe we have one more week of picks because we can't pick the last show of the semester because we got to crown a champion. So next week's the last week we pick these games. Pretty big week. Scott, kick us off. Steelers and Browns are the first team up. Who are you taking?
Starting off big, I'm taking the Steelers with this one.
Justin, who are you taking?
Browns.
I'm going to go with the Steelers on that one.
All right, I'm going to take the Steelers. Yeah, Baker, I don't know what happened to Baker. But next game, Cowboys-Lions.
Don't let me down, Zeke, please. You had a horrible game. Give me the Cowboys.
Justin, who are you taking?
I'm going with the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, Cowboys seem like the obvious choice here. Sorry, Steve, but the Lions are not good. So.
I'm taking the Cowboys. I actually don't have Steve's picks on me. I forgot him in the newsroom. I know he's taking the Cowboys, though. He's being smart about it this week. He's like, no way I can pick Matt Stafford. He's hurt. Lions are a bad team even with Matt Stafford. Cowboys all the way. I'm taking the Cowboys. Steve's taking the Cowboys. Next game on the slate. This is a good one. We have two solid quarterbacks in this one. Two of the better quarterbacks in the NFL this year. Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, Texans at Ravens. Scott, who you taking?
Oh, this one is going to be a shootout. And you said it yourself, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. I have to go with Lamar Jackson, though, and take the Ravens.
Justin, who are you taking?
I'm going to also go with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson has been stellar this season. I am going to go with the Ravens.
The Ravens might be the best team in the AFC. Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. But they're for sure going to beat the Texans.
I am taking the Ravens. That's not even close. Lamar Jackson's a cheat code in Madden. He's a cheat code in real life. Next game, Falcons, Panthers. Scott, who you taking?
Run CMC. We're taking the Carolina Panthers.
Justin, who you got?
I'm taking the Panthers as well. The Falcons' defense is abysmal.
Scott, you really thought you had some with that Run CMC joke, didn't you?
I love it. It was good. I was saving that one.
I'm going Panthers too.
Oh, I'm going Falcons. This is the game. That puts me up in first place. You have to play the game at this point. I'm a game back out of first. Everyone else is picking the Panthers. I'm going Falcons. The Falcons are going to win. Bears, Rams. Oh, easy game.
Biggest game. Easiest game. Bears.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go Rams.
My reasoning
behind is because Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator of the Rams, we could all remember last year's game. Trubisky, 110 yards, one touchdown, three picks with a passer rating of 33.
Who beat him, though? Who won that game?
The Bears did because their defense was unreal, but our defense is not what it was last year.
Justin, I thought you were a true Chicago fan. It disappoints.
Trust me, I want the Bears to win.
Disappoints me to hear that. You know I've got to go with the Bears all day.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears. I remember what Steve picked here, too. He picked the Rams. He's just a bitter Lions fan at this point. I know he's not listening. He's a little busy today. He does trivia on Thursday. His team's good at it. According to him, they win a lot. Okay. But he's taking the Rams. Whatever. I'm taking the Bears. The Bears are going to win. Final game, Chiefs-Chargers, a little Monday night football. Yeah. Scott.
Chargers are probably one of the worst teams in the NFL, so I'm going to have to go with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Chargers beat the Bears, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs this week. I think second week with Patrick Mahomes back, I think they're locked and loaded, ready to go.
Yeah, that Patty Mahomes injury really hurt the Chiefs, but like you said, they're coming back. He's going to be back for the second straight week, and so I think they're going to start picking up right where they left off. We're going Chiefs.
Didn't they have like a real bad loss last week? They lost last week,
the
right?
The kicker, right?
Chiefs.
The Chiefs lost.
Yeah.
They lost to the Titans. That's right. They had a bad loss. I think they bounced back. I think Pat Mahomes exposes his Chargers defense. I think the Chiefs take the dub. I'm feeling good about these picks. I'm feeling first place. Unfortunately, we're 2 minutes over. We're not going to get in trouble, Riley. I hope not. I'm on my way out. What are they going to tell me? That's the end of our show, though, and it was a fun one. Scott, Joey, Justin.
Got heated.
A little bit, but
I'll teach you some sports.
We'll
talk about it.
We might get a little heated on air. We get out of this. Once the mics are off, we love each other.
It's all love.
We're all friends.
At least we know it's all love between me and Hector. Scotty and I got to take it outside sometimes. Brothers fight. It's what happens.
It's all love. Brothers fight. Justin, thanks so much for coming on. I had fun. We had some good talk.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here for sure.
Real quick, Bulls, what do they do this year? Do they make the playoffs? Do you think they make the playoffs?
Well, I don't have the standings in front of me, but I was looking at them a few days ago, and I want to say the 7th and 8th seed could potentially have a negative record, so not even be .500. So,
all right, we'll keep an eye out for that.
I think they could squeeze in.
That's the end of our show, though, and it's been a fun one. We're down to 2. Thanks for listening to Red Zone.
To hear this and other past episodes of the Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into the Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.